follow with me, if you would. We're going to read the first several verses here, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get to our study. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Boy, isn't that true? Okay. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we study His word together. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful that we can spend some time again this morning looking into Your word and looking at this passage today about the significance of the tongue, and not just in general terms, just in about human life but in particular, the tongue in relationship to what James is saying here to his audience, the 12 tribes gathered abroad, in preparing them for the tribulation period. We will thank You for the insight and the wisdom that we will receive today from Your word, in Christ's precious name. Amen. All right. Let me mention several preliminary remarks today about James chapter number 3. And mostly what we're going to do today in starting James chapter number 3 is to lay the groundwork, lay some important groundwork from the Old Testament, Proverbs in particular, and Psalms, and some other passages, so that when we look in detail at James chapter number 3, we will have a better appreciation of what in the world is James talking about? This thing about the tongue. That there's so much in James chapter number 3 about the tongue. When you go back to verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So I want to begin today asking the question, what is all this about the tongue in James chapter number 3? Fundamentally, the entire chapter is connected with what James is saying about the tongue. The whole chapter. Now, we didn't read the whole chapter. We just read down to verse 6. But the whole chapter, the Holy Spirit is having James here convey something about the tongue. And so that's the question that we want to ask this morning. What is all this about the tongue? The title to my message this morning, if you look up here, it's Bits, Bridles, and Helms. There's your title, okay? Bits, Bridles, and Helms. If you look back at verse number 2, he says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to, and there's the bridle, the whole body. Verse 3, behold, we put bits, and then look down at verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. So there it is. Bits, bridles, and helms. That's the introduction to chapter number 3 of James. We're in chapter number 3. Now, we didn't read it, but I want you to look a little bit further down in this chapter and look at verse 15, fundamentally, James is reminding his audience that there are two different sources of wisdom. Okay? You might think, two different sources of wisdom, two different sources of information. See that there? Two different sources of information. And if you look at chapter 3, look at verse 15. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and then what is it? It is devilish. See that? It is devilish, as it says it there. Look at verse 17 now. But the wisdom that is from above is first, and then he lists these things, pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So the other wisdom is divine. Divine wisdom. Obviously the wisdom of God. When James here, in James chapter number 3 here, is talking about the tongue, he connects it with the wisdom. One kind of, it's devilish. It comes from the adversary, from Satan. The other is divine. It comes from God. The tongue, oops, let me just do this here. The tongue, can y'all see that, by the way?
Yes.
The tongue is going to be the instrument by which either this wisdom or this wisdom, devilish wisdom or divine wisdom, is going to be conveyed, is going to be spoken about, going to be transmitted. And obviously, James, in chapter number 3, is emphasizing the importance that God didn't create the tongue for the purpose of conveying the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish. God created the tongue for the purpose of conveying, speaking about divine wisdom, His Word. This wisdom over here, the divine wisdom, that is God's Word. The devilish wisdom is what? It's yea, hath God said. Let me just change that. That's the devilish wisdom. That's Satan's wisdom over here. Okay? So, when you think about James chapter number 3, make sure you get that big picture in mind what's going on here. And so when we ask the question about the tongue, and what's the big deal about the tongue, and why does he say so? I mean, the whole chapter is about the tongue. It's why would he take one whole chapter and focus especially on the tongue? It's because he's emphasizing to the 12 tribes gathered abroad, preparing them to go through the tribulation period, that they're going to have to be very, very careful as to who they are listening to. They're going to have to be very aware of the source of that information that is being conveyed and taught by the tongue, by people speaking. Because on the one hand, there are those who are going to be speaking the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish. It came from the devil. It is denying God's word. It's yea, hath God said. On the other hand, the believing remnant dare to preach God's word, that wisdom that is from above. And that information is, if you look again at verse 17, He says at verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first, you know what it is? First is pure. Man, that's clearly about the Word of God right there. Every Word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And then it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and so forth. All those things listed in verse 17, that's what they're going to need in order to get them through the tribulation period. So, that's kind of the big picture of this thing about the tongue. And as I mentioned, today is really going to be just an overview to kind of set the table, as it were, for the next couple of weeks, at which we will get into great details about what's going on here in this chapter. Now, let me shift gears a little bit. Let's talk for a few minutes about the tongue. About the tongue. You realize, the tongue in and of itself, it is neither good nor bad. It's like, take a look at your hand. Everybody look at your hand. Is your hand good or bad? No, it just is. When does your hand become good or bad? Well, what's that?
The mind behind it.
The mind, it's decorative, the mind behind it, and therefore what the hand is used for. And so too, when you think about your tongue is, what's your tongue? By the way, do you very often think about your tongue? You really don't, you know, except when you're eating too fast and you bite your tongue, ah, that kind of thing, right? Then you think about your tongue because it swells up and everything, you know? But the idea, the tongue in and of itself, it's not inherently good or bad. Think about your lips. Think about all the parts of your body that come into play when you're speaking, like what I'm doing right now. You've got your lungs, obviously. You've got your lips. You've got your tongue, your cheeks. How the wind is passing through your vocal cords and so forth. So all the parts of your body that they're in and of themselves, they're neither good nor bad. They just are. So, why does James say here about the tongue? Look at what he says about the tongue at verse 5. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member, and it is. This is a little member in your body, okay? And it, what's that? What's it?
The one that gets you
in trouble. The one that gets you in all kinds of trouble is exactly right. Okay? And it says, so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, doesn't it? it sure does, you know. I don't know what he's saying. It's almost comical, but how true it is. It's a little member, but man, it sure is able to boast itself and lift itself up. And in so doing, I mean, it's not doing it about itself. It's doing about the person that is controlling the tongue, as it were, right? Like you said, the mind behind it, okay? He says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, a little word out of somebody's mouth, and man, it'll start a big fight, right? Just a couple of few words, and man, you can just stir the whole pot, as it were. It goes on to say, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. And so what is it about the tongue that can defile the whole body? It can set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. What's that all about? Well, we're going to spend most of our time in the rest of this message looking at some passages in the Old Testament, in particular in Proverbs, to set the stage in Proverbs, about the tongue. Because this is not the first time in the Scripture where there's been a lot said about the tongue. The Old Testament is just, there's full, you get your concordance out and just type in look at the word tongue and everything, and there's verse after verse after verse after verse. And I did, I went and looked at all of them, basically, probably 95% of them. All right, you check the word tongue or tongues, not like speaking in tongues. You check the word lips, I did that, and then the word mouth. I mean, there are just hundreds and hundreds of listens, verses and everything. I didn't look at all of them, but probably 95% of them and everything.
It's just as amazing the amount of information in the Old Testament about the nature of the tongue and what the tongue is and what it represents. Okay? So now let's kind of get a little bit deeper in this. Look at how James starts the chapter here. He says, my brethren, and then it's kind of a weird statement. He says, be not many masters. What? You look up. Be not many masters. What? What's that mean there? Well, when you think of many masters, what do you think? When he says many, he doesn't think it's not small, okay? Like many, like small, but multiple. Many masters is like you have way too many bosses, right? Way too many people telling you what to do. Oh, by the way, does that sound kind of familiar? Left, right today, right now, okay? In human history, but the idea, be not many masters, knowing that we, so that's James here as the author of the book, and as one of the members who was leadership among the little flock in Israel. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we, that be James and the leaders of the little flock, shall receive greater condemnation. The idea is accountability there. They were responsible for the spiritual watch care of the nation of Israel. Let me have you look at a parallel passage over in 1 Peter chapter 5. And Peter says a very, very similar thing over here in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And you'll see the idea here. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5 and watch what he says. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. So see there, Peter himself in the book of 1 Peter is talking specifically in that verse, in a couple of verses, the verses following. He calls out the elders themselves and reminds them about their responsibility and the fact that they're going to be held accountable for their leadership and guidance of the little flock. He says this, the elders which are among you I exhort, and am who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So he tells them this, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And then notice in particular verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. See that there? Can you think of, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who is it that were being lords over God's heritage, clearly in a negative way? Who was it? That's right, it's the scribes and the Pharisees, the false apostate leaders. When you come back to James chapter 3, verse 1, when he says, my brethren, be not many masters, he's saying, guys, don't be the scribes and Pharisees. Don't be those guys, kind of thing. Don't be the guys who are following that devilish wisdom using their tongue to convey the tradition of the elders that was making void the word of God. Don't be those guys, as it were. James is telling his leadership, don't be those guys, because we're going to have the greater condemnation, the greater accountability. They're going to be accountable for teaching God's wisdom, God's word, using the tongue to convey that doctrine to the little flock. He said for verse 2, for in many things we offend all. Think about that. In many things. Many what things? In too many things coming out of your mouth. You'll see a couple of verses in a minute about this. But when he says, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to hear this, bridle the whole body. Question. How can someone offend not in word? The answer is up on the board here. How can someone offend not in word? That's God's, that's God's,
let's ask it a different way. In the context here, how is it that someone does offend in word? Well, because they're conveying disinformation, the devilish information, the scribes and Pharisees that were lording it over Israel. The words coming out of their mouth, they were making void the word of God. They were offending in word. So that verse says, if any man offend not in word, the same as the perfect man. That's the guy over here that's teaching God's word. He's using God, he's using his tongue. He has God's word in his heart, and that's what he's speaking forth. And that's going to edify the little flock there. See that? When he says, he's able also to bridle the whole body. That's not the first time in James where James has used that word bridle. Go back to chapter number 1 at verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. What's this? 1:26 says this. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That guy's over here. That guy's the guy who's conveying that devilish wisdom. That's the scribe and Pharisee. The false apostate here, over here, is using his tongue to convey the false information. That man's religion is vain. That's the scribes and Pharisees right there. Okay, so when he says at chapter 3, verse 2, at chapter 3, verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the only way to do that is they got to preach the word of God. Okay? Now, let's kind of back up again a little bit, because again, what we want to do today is we're just going to try to set the table, set the stage, so that when we do get into further details in chapter 3 beginning next week, hopefully it will all come together. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 15. Go to Matthew 15. Look at Matthew chapter 15. I want you to understand that this issue about the tongue reveals something. The tongue manifests something according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 15. And I'm going to start at verse 17. Matthew 15, 17 says this. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. Now watch verse 18 very carefully. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let me ask you a question. How do you know what's in someone's heart? But you can't look in their heart. Now, God can look at everyone's heart. God knows what's in everyone's heart. But how can you and I, as human beings, how can you know what's in someone's heart?
We won't know 100% maybe, but we could have a pretty close right on their speech.
Yes, yes. What Alfonso just said is we may not know 100% every time, but boy, you can have a real good picture by what comes out of their mouth. But listen, I don't want to get off on the politics, but I'm going to. We just witnessed the last several months in our country, for example, just in your face, on television, things coming out of people's mouths that just exposes what's in their heart. Enough said on that. Well, maybe not. Okay. But I'm saying it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, right in that verse, right in those verses, he told us how you can tell what's in someone's heart. That is, as soon as they start talking, what's in their heart comes out. That's why I said a few minutes ago that the tongue and the lips, the vocal box, the voice box, vocal cords, thank you, yes, okay, in and of themselves, they're neither good nor bad. But all of a sudden, when you start employing those things, what comes out conveys what's inside. And so what we got to do is this. Understanding that truth, what do we want to get it? What is it we want to come out of our mouth? Do we want the wisdom that's devilish and sensual and of the world, or do we want the wisdom that's divine and comes from God? If that's what we want to use our tongue for, then this is what we got to get into our heart. We got to get this wisdom, this information in our heart, because as it gets in our heart, it'll push out this false devilish wisdom. And then what will come out of our tongues, what will come out of our mouth, will be the Word of God. And that's the essence of what James is driving at in James, in the whole chapter 3 of James. Okay, so if you want to fast forward into 3 or 4 more weeks, we'll get to chapter 4, okay, of James. But no, stay with me on this. I want you to do this then. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter number 2. Let me just look over here. Proverbs chapter number 2. I need to get there myself. We've got a number of verses to go through. I had probably 5 times as many verses listed in my preparatory notes, and I had to whittle it way down. You might remember a few weeks ago, and we had so many verses, and we couldn't get through them all. And on the way back, we were driving back, I was talking to Lori, and says, yeah, you've got to whittle it down, fewer verses and everything. So, and that's true, because sometimes it's just too many verses to look at. And you also can, in your own study time, you can go and add verses on your own and everything. So I whittled this way down. We're just going to look at still way too many verses. But look at Proverbs chapter number 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. We actually looked at these verses to begin the book of James. Look at Proverbs chapter number 2, verse 1. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Remember that study we did on the ear and the hearing. Faith comes by hearing and so forth. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Every time you see the reference to fear of the Lord, think the Word of God. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now watch verse 6 now. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That verse right there is about Scripture, about how the Word of God came into being. God spoke, and in the various Bible writers that He used, they wrote down what He said. That it's wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we're seeking, God has given that to us in His Word. It came out of His mouth, as it were, to come out of His mouth. That means God used His lips and His tongue to convey that wisdom that is from above, that divine wisdom. Isn't that fascinating? It's just wonderful here. So, from God Himself is the source of divine wisdom. When James says, this wisdom, the wisdom that is from above, it came from God. Look at another verse with me in Proverbs chapter number 8 this time. Go to Proverbs chapter number 8. Go to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, this time it's going to be verse 6 and 7. 6, 7, and 8. It says this. Proverbs 8, verse 6. Hear. So see, listen up. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See that? Hear. For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. That's all about the Word of God. That's Scripture right there. That's Scripture talking. That's God saying, this is what came out of my mouth. And when you're reading Scripture, you're reading what God said. You're reading those excellent things. You're reading those right things. You're reading the truth. You're reading about His righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in Him. That's the Word of God right there. That's Scripture. Look with me to Psalms chapter 45. I know we've pointed out this passage multiple times. This is one of my most favorite verses out of the entire book of Psalms. And there's a lot of great verses in Psalms, wouldn't you say? Look at Psalms 45 and verse 1. Pamela typed in, and she said, therefore God poured out His heart to us. That is a wonderful way to say it. He sure did. Okay? Look at this passage here, Psalms 45, verse 1. It says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king, meaning like concerning the king. Now look at that next phrase. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You got to think about that phrase. David says right here, my tongue, you know what it is? It's my pen. God the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of David, in that David took and wrote down with his pen what God said. My tongue is the pen. God through the mouth of David is saying, what I said to you is what David wrote down on paper. My tongue is the pen. My tongue is what got written down. See that? So, point number one that we tried to make was this, is that the tongue is an instrument in the body that was created for the purpose of manifesting what's in the heart. Now, listen, there are other reasons for the tongue as well, for taste and when you eat and things like that. Okay, I understand that. But one of the main reasons for God ever creating the tongue was to give forth, to speak, to convey information. His information. The tongue was created to repeat what the Creator said. The Creator spoke what was in His heart. God gave what was in His heart. He spoke it. He wrote it down for us. And so now, as His creatures, we are to take what He said and get His word into our heart. And then our tongue is to be the instrument in our members to bring forth from the heart God's word and convey it to others. You see that there? Listen. The only thing that is able, and this is point number two, the only thing that is able to bridle the tongue. The only thing that is able to control your tongue and my tongue, and this is true in any dispensation by the way, is the Word of God. That's the only thing. The only thing that is able to come along and control the tongue in such a way that it is to be, it is used with the intention and purpose for which God created it in the first place, the bridle of the tongue is the Word of God, and the way it does it is that the Word of God's got to take and get a hold of your heart. See that there? When you think about like a horse's bit, and a bridle, it's kind of weird because, I mean, a horse is a big, strong animal, beautiful, powerful animals, are they not? And yet you can control them with a little bit and a bridle, as it were, in their mouth. It's really incredible. And so too, the Word of God is supposed to come into our heart and then as it works out of us, then our tongue is that instrument that's used to convey the knowledge and the truth and the wisdom and the love and the kindness and the mercy of the God who created us. Isn't that wonderful how this all comes together? So point number one is the tongue is the instrument that God created to manifest what was in the heart, and in particular His Word. Number two, the only thing that can bridle the tongue is God's Word. Therefore, we gotta get God's Word into our heart. Now, go back to the book of Proverbs. Go to chapter number 10. Let's then look at several passages here about what Scripture says about the tongue. About the tongue. And then if we have enough time and so forth, well, we'll look at some others. Go to Proverbs chapter number 10. And again, you can do this on your own. You get your concordance, look up the word tongue and or tongues, but tongues not in the sense of the gift of tongues. But you can fill, there's so many passages. This will be one chapter we'll look at. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon." And it begins, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Now, jump ahead. I want you to jump ahead to verse 9. Verse 8, he says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." See, here you have the wise and the fool. You've got the wise over here, God's word. You've got the fool over here. Okay? Verse 9, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Now watch verse 11. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." You see how you've got on the one hand, you've got those who are the believers, the believing remnant, the ones walking by faith. On the other hand, you have the wicked, the apostate. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." What's that mean? How can and how is it that the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life?
In the dark world?
What the Jonathan said here is in a dark world, what's coming out of that man's mouth? Really? Truth. Mm-hmm. Hope. Peace. Forgiveness. Rest. It's a well of life. And not a shallow one either. When we get God's word into our soul, into our heart, and then we speak to ourselves about it, because we need to tell ourselves these things too, right? And then we convey to others, it's a well of life. See that? Let's stay in this chapter. Look at some other things he says here. Look at verse 13. "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found." How can you tell if the person you're talking to, if there is wisdom in that person's heart? Listen to what he says. Look a little bit further ahead. Look at verse 14, he says, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is their destruction." Look down at verse 19. "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, But he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know that verse, if we were to do a different translation of that verse, which we're not going to do, then don't do it. But you know, you might say it this way. You know what? You need to stop talking because you continue to expose your spiritual ignorance. Okay? The more words that come out of your mouth just demonstrates you don't have any idea what you're talking about, and there's spiritual darkness in your heart. But verse 19, he says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Listen, if you have to keep explaining again and again and again and restating what you're trying to say, then you weren't telling the truth in the first place. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Sometimes it's better, what's the old saying? That it's better to be silent and thought the fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. You know that concept?
Get a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah, get a lawyer. You know, it's just, he that refraineth his lips. Sometimes, you've heard this said before, you don't have to win all arguments. You get some arguments on, just be quiet. They can think what they want to think. God knows your heart. You know, I always have to go around proving everybody else right or wrong or that type of thing. Sometimes you can just listen. And that's wise. Just be quiet and listen. Look at verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Choice silver is silver that's not become impure. The heart of the wicked is, you know, it is just little worth. The reason that the tongue of the just is as choice silver is that that's a just person who has God's word in his heart, so what's coming out of his mouth is the word of God, and that's like the precious gold and silver, the gold, silver, and precious stones. If you look down at verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. Which wisdom? Not this wisdom, not the devilish wisdom that's from the earth, but the wisdom that is divine, that's from above. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut off. What's that froward tongue? That froward, that's the idea of someone who presumes to know everything without just listening to all the evidence and considering the information. The froward, proud, unwilling to be taught, unwilling to be wrong. That froward tongue. That guy's going to be cut off. That's this guy over here. Look at verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. You want to know what frowardness is? Frowardness is, yea, hath God said. Fundamentally, that's what that is. It's incredible here how in the book of Proverbs you see so many wonderful details about the nature of God's word is the wisdom that's to be into our heart, to get into our heart. So as we use our tongue is used as an instrument to pass on His divine wisdom. Look over to chapter 15, if you would. How are we doing on time? Oh man, I don't have much time left. Let's just look at a few more. We'll pick up here next week. Look at chapter number 15. Watch how this verse starts. Chapter 15, verse 1. It says this, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Proverbs says, only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention, comes strife. I might be mixing those two words up there. But think about that. If you want to de-escalate, that verse says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. In order to give a soft answer, you've got to think before you speak. He says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words, nothing, they stir up anger. They start that fire. That tongue is a little member, but man, it starts a raging fire. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. So they use the word of God the right way to edify, to encourage, to strengthen, to enable, to equip. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And you know what foolishness is? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Foolishness is, yea, have God said. Look at verse 4. A wholesome tongue. You know what? It's a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Look at verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. I want you to, we're going to have to stop here, but I want to look at one more verse, and then we'll wrap this up, and we'll pick this up next time. Go to chapter 18. Okay, two more verses, okay? All right. Let me give these quickly. 18 verse 4 says this. 18:4. Mark these, we'll look at these again next week, because there's some wonderful detail here we need to go over. Watch this, 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. Notice it doesn't say they're as dirty waters, they're as deep waters. Think of the rich minerals in the deepness of the ocean, the life and so forth. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom is as a flowing brook. The words that come out of your mouth, they are either deep, dirty waters, muddy waters, or they are deep, fresh, refreshing waters and bring forth life. Now watch verse 21. 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Isn't that true? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, notice it doesn't say that they that love them. That verse says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Listen, here we go. Death and life. Can y'all see that there? Are you able to see that in the camera? Probably not, but
yeah.
You can? Life?
Yep.
Up here. You got life? Okay. Death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How? Based upon what's coming out of your tongue, is the wisdom that's devilish or the wisdom that's divine. See that there? And he says, and they that love it, you love the wisdom of this world, and you're just in death, and you're just passing on death. You love the wisdom that's from God, then you love life, and you're passing on life. And this just sets the table for all that James says in chapter number 3 about the tongue, and the bits, and the bridles, and the helms. What's going to steer? What's going to turn the body? What's going to get someone to become a member of a little flock? What's going to enable someone to say no to the Antichrist, to say no to the mark of the beast, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? What's going to enable someone to be turned is that the Word of God coming out of the tongue and the lips and the mouth of the believers to others to invite them to become a part of a little flock. That's what's going to result in and bring forth life to them. So when you read chapter number 3 of James, you read these verses, and we'll look at more next time, because there's so many wonderful verses in the Old Testament that really sets the table and stage and explains about the issue and the nature and the purpose of the tongue itself. Really amazing. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you. We could take a few minutes to look at your word this morning about this issue of the tongue. And we ask, Father, that in light of this, you would help us to be ever so careful what we let come out of our tongue. In Christ's name, amen. All right.